2016. No ticket, no problem. The game. Miami Marlins 6, Washington Nationals 4 at Nationals Park, Washington, D.C. Attendance 41,650 on Thursday, April 7th, 2016. The weather started out beautifully, 60s, sunny, but went downhill from there. Hall of Famers? Maybe someday Marlins outfielder Ichiro Suzuki, who will be eligible in 2025, and Giancarlo Stanton, Nationals outfielder Bryce Harper, and pitcher Max Scherzer, all three eligible 5 years after retirement. Game highlights. Washington's new manager, Dusty Baker, got lost trying to find his way to Nationals Park for the first time. His hitters got lost trying to find an RBI after a 90-minute rain delay in the middle of the second inning. After Daniel Murphy's three-run double in the first, the Nationals went 0 for 11 with runners in scoring position. Baker let his starter, Tanner Roark, resume his outing after the weather break, but he never found a rhythm. The Marlins pounded out 13 hits off five Washington pitchers, 10 of them singles. Bryce Harper hit a solo home run in the seventh to make it closer. Before the game, Harper collected his 2015 NL MVP award. The 22-year-old outfielder was the youngest unanimous selection for MVP in baseball history. The story. Over the course of my opening day streak, the approach to securing tickets ran the gamut. While I have no idea how my dad got tickets in 1970 at a sold-out RFK, I know hundreds of fans camped out overnight at the stadium box office for the chance to buy a pair of printed tickets. Lower box seats sold for $4.50 each. By 2017, an all-digital experience for those same seats could be purchased instantly online from the team or an authorized reseller for $100 each or more, sometimes much more. On opening day 2017, with my usual companions either unavailable or already paired up with family, I tested a ticket approach I had been refining the past few years outside Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia. Show up with no ticket and limited cash. The guiding principle I adopted was, you don't need a good seat, just get into the ballpark and upgrade from there. During the Phillies' post-dynasty lean years, weeknight tickets were easy to come by. If I was in town overnight on business, I'd hop the Broad Street line to Patterson Avenue, arriving just after game time. No sooner would I extend my index finger skyward than a swarm of aggressive ticket brokers, formerly known as scalpers, would approach, all touting the high quality of the tickets they had to sell. I would then reach in my pocket and extract the only cash I had, a $5 bill. A few would walk away on principle. Hoping I had a 10 or a 20 in my pocket, one hungry entrepreneur would bark something like, "Lower box, face is 75 bucks, look." He would point to the price on the printout. "I'll give it to you for 25. Indeed, there might have been a higher retail price on that piece of paper, but tonight, to me, any one of the tickets in his wad was worth exactly $5. And with the game inside heading toward the second inning, the worth of that piece of paper to him was nearing zero. When the gentleman realized that $5 was all the cash I had, and that $5 was better than $0, he shuffled his ticket printouts, found an upper deck single, and we had a deal. Once inside, I would head straight to the concession stand to load up, not just to satisfy my hunger and thirst, but to ensure both hands were occupied when attempting to enter a section of lower box seats. I learned a carefully balanced beverage box with a hot dog, fries, and two beers virtually guaranteed the usher would not ask to see your ticket. Works every time. Attempting this approach on opening day was riskier. A weeknight crowd in Philly was typically less than 20,000. Opening day in Washington was 40,000 plus. Prices would be higher, I assumed, and few brokers would have singles. I arrived very early and took my chances at the top of the metro escalator on Half Street, just a long block from the ballpark. Instead of holding up a finger, I held up a $20 bill. Brokers were nowhere in sight. But within 5 minutes, three fans emerged from the subway. One spotted my cash. Without a moment of hesitation, the man approached, said something about their fourth who couldn't make it, handed me a ticket, and gladly accepted the $20 to pay for his first two beers of the day. author's note. The only other time I did this on opening day was 2017. Same result. The system really works. In and around Nationals Park, the festive atmosphere that defines opening day was in full swing on this sunny afternoon. Once inside, navigating past an usher wasn't on my mind. Instead, I wandered around, visited friends, and enjoyed some of the standing room locations specifically designed for socializing. My brother-in-law and his wife came out from their club-level accommodations for a pregame visit. I connected with another college friend who was huddled with colleagues at a bar in the right center field concourse. As game time approached, the staff, coaches, and players were introduced. The customary field-sized American flag covered the outfield during the anthem, and the jets flew overhead. Must be opening day. The Marlins and Nationals scored a combined 6 runs during a marathon first inning before storm clouds rolled in. During an hour-and-a-half rain delay, I found dry refuge in the concourse with another old friend and his daughter. What a wonderful visit. By the time I actually made it to the seat I had paid for, it was the third inning and pushing 7 o'clock. Few fans remained. With Miami leading 5-3 in the fifth, the trio from whom I had purchased the ticket headed out. I am reasonably sure they consumed more than the 2 beers I had paid for 4 hours earlier. Many more. Seat upgrades were plentiful, but with the temperature falling almost as steadily as the rain and drizzle, staying warm and dry became the preferred option. I had gotten my money's worth. For the box score and play-by-play, visit openingday5050.com.